We find ourselves all the way to Romans chapter 5, and this morning our focus of study will be Romans 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. However, to begin today, I'd like to read the entire section of Romans chapter 5, verses 12, all the way down through 21. 12 through 21 really is one section in your Bible, and so this is the final section of chapter 5, very important one. Let's first and foremost just read those verses. So let me pray first, and then we'll read those together, okay? Father God, thank you so much for this morning and the opportunity that we have to study your word. As we come to this important section in our Bibles, I pray that you would help us to understand. God, your word is perfect. And so I pray that we would come to your word, not thinking that we know everything, but excited to learn from it. And God, when we come to these passages that can be a little bit difficult, I pray that we would humble ourselves to believe what the text is telling us. God, allow that to shape our theology, and allow that to point us to honoring and glorifying you. So thank you for these words this morning, and each and every person that is here as we study them together. In your name I pray. Amen. Starting in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says this: "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is like that, is not like that which came through the one who sinned, but the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace in the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is a very important passage in your Bible. And listen, if upon reading those words you're a little bit confused, do not be discouraged. That's a hard passage of Scripture in your Bible. That is not a text that you go to and you read and you walk away saying, "I know exactly what Paul's talking about," after reading that one time. This is a passage that you really have to look at and try to focus in on and try to sort out to properly understand it. Maybe, in my opinion, it probably is, but maybe the hardest passage in the entire book of Romans to properly nail down and get a good grasp on. But we are going to understand it together. Today and next week and the week after, we will tackle those verses that we just read, and we will get a proper understanding of this final section in Romans chapter 5. But let me kind of summarize the next 3 weeks of sermons for you right now to try to give you a grasp of what we're looking at over the next couple weeks. The focus of all of these verses, from verse 12 down through verse 21, is this. In Adam versus in Christ. Those are the options. This is human history and salvation, and this categorizes every single person that has ever lived on the planet. Everyone is either in Adam or in Christ. And the reality, and what this text makes very clear, and what we know from life as we look at it, and this passage will help us see that, is that everyone enters into the world in Adam. That's where we start. We are born sinners. We're born affected by what Adam brought into the world, sin. In fact, that's why everyone dies. That's what this passage explains to us. From the moment that we are born, we're all moving towards death. Why is that? This passage tells us. Why does death get everyone? Nobody escapes it. This passage says, because all are sinners, and all enter the world affected by Adam, the sin of Adam. And let's see if we can understand that together as we go down through this. But before we start to break that down, yes, we start in Adam. Everybody that enters the world is there in Adam. That explains why they all die. But the beauty of this passage, every believer, every true Christian, remember, we're talking about the doctrine of justification. Everyone who is justified, who God declares as righteous, they're not in Adam. They're in Christ. That's salvation. That's when one is born again. They're born in Adam. When they're born again, they're in Christ. And so that describes everybody on the planet. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And now listen, let me give you the main point of all these verses. Okay? The focus of all these verses is in Adam versus in Christ. The main point that comes from these verses is this. What Christ did for all those who are in Him is so far greater. It is so much more than what Adam did for all those that are in Him. That's exciting if you understand it. That'll be our focus for the next several weeks. That's the main point of verses 12 all the way down through 21. And so since we have, you know, quite a bit of material to try to understand here, that's going to be our focus. I'll tell you one more time so you can lock in on it, and then you'll hear it for the next couple weeks. What Christ did for all those that are in Him is so far greater. Or I like the term much more, because as you go through this text, you'll see Paul continuing, you know, through Romans 5. Much more, much more, much more. Because what Christ did for those in Him is much more than what Adam did for all those that are in Him. So let's break down verses 12, 13, and 14 today and see if we can understand it together. Okay? Look at verse 12 with me. It starts with the word therefore. Now you guys are familiar with this at this point in our study of Romans. We've seen this word so often, and every time that we see this word, we say, that connects you to the previous passage, the one that we have already broken down. Therefore is a connector word. Very specifically, though, this therefore is connecting the section of verses 6 to 11 to verses 12 through 21. Now, what was verses 6 through 11 about? For those of you that have been here and studying with me, and as we've broken down every word of that together, verses 6 through 11 was talking about Christ's substitutionary death for helpless, ungodly, sinning enemies, right? The way that we're described in verses 6 through 11 is helpless, ungodly, sinning enemies, but God reconciles us to himself. God justified us. And so we talked about the beauty of that passage, Christ's substitutionary death for us helpless sinners, which reconciled us to God and allowed us to be right with him. Now that leads to a very important question. If you're a thinker, right? If you're somebody that takes this stuff and thinks through it a little bit and wants to understand it at its deepest level, or you know, naturally says, okay, I hear what he's saying, but I have some questions based off of that. Maybe one of the questions that you would ask is this. After studying verses 6 through 11 and Christ dying in the place of sinners, maybe you'd be left with this question. How can one man's death reconcile all believers back to God? Everybody has sinned, and you mean all those Christians, all those believers get right with God, are reconciled back to God through the death of one man? Or maybe that question will be asked in this form. Maybe you've heard people say it like this. How can someone dying, or let's even get more theological, how can Jesus dying 2,000 years ago justify a believer today in 2024? That's what this therefore is connecting right here in verse 12. The therefore connects the question of justification through this substitute. Jesus dies as a substitute in the place of helpless, sinning, ungodly people. And you say, well, how can that affect me in 2024? Therefore, that's the idea. He's connecting the question to the answer. And so verse 12 through 21 is the explanation of one man affecting many. Jesus Christ affects every believer. Just like Adam affected every person. So this verse 12 says, therefore, and then it moves on like this. Just as through one man, sin entered the world. So hopefully you see that we're jumping into a comparison here, because he starts out by saying, just as. So we're getting the first piece of the comparison today as we're looking at this idea that through one man, sin entered the world. You got to understand that there's a comparison taking place in this text to properly understand it. See this. It says, just as through one man, sin entered the world. So if we were going to make a point from that, it would be this. Sin entered the world through one man. That's it. That explains life as we know it. That's the answer to the questions that come up. There's some hard questions that people come up and ask, and you know what? That's the answer. Sin entered the world through one man. That's why babies die, because sin entered the world through one man. That's why disease is prevalent. Lots and lots of people have it, and they're headed towards death because sin entered the world through one man. This describes human behavior as we know it. This is why people kill each other. This is why your three-year-old acts out and has a temper tantrum when he doesn't get what he wants. This is why selfishness is seen at every corner, you know what I mean, no matter which direction that you look. This explains life as we know it, sin. You and I have only ever seen people living as sinners because through one man, sin entered the world. Let's break that down a little bit slower, okay? The text says this, just as through one man, sin entered the world. The just as is the setup for the comparison. And let me give you the comparison right now. Just as Adam, that'll be this text, more so Christ. That's the main focus of all this. Just as Adam, more so Christ. Now, I even read some commentaries this week where some theologians would say this. When God looks at mankind, he only sees one of two people, Adam and Christ. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And so that's why the just as, it's setting up that comparison, what Adam did versus what Christ did. But then it says, just as through one man. I've already told you the one man is Adam, but don't believe me. Look at verse, let's just keep reading, and I'll show you it's Adam. Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam. There's the man. There's a man that brought death into the world because that man brought sin into the world, and that man's name is Adam. From Adam to Moses, death reigned. That's what this passage is telling you. So the one man in verse 12, just as through one man, that one man is Adam, who's finally named in verse 14. Just as through one man, sin entered the world. The whole world was flooded with sin when Adam sinned. When Adam broke God's law. Let me give you a quick little history lesson. And some of you will know this well, some of you maybe won't. But in Genesis chapter 2, this is where this story takes place. Right, you'd have to go all the way back to the first book of your Bible, Genesis chapter 2. And you guys know this. In Genesis 2, God said, do not eat the fruit of just this one tree. You can eat the fruit of every tree that you want, but there's one tree that you are not allowed to eat the fruit from. That's what we call God's law. God put a rule in place. God put instruction in place. You can't eat from the tree on this one. You can't eat from the fruit of this one tree. It was very clear. It was delivered from God to Adam and Eve. They knew the rules. They knew what the law of God was, and that was it. But that was the law. And by the time we get to Genesis 3, what happens? Adam and Eve eat the fruit from that one tree that God told them they couldn't eat from. In other words, they broke God's instruction. They disobeyed. Adam and Eve had sinned. Sin is lawlessness. That's what your Bible says. And so they broke God's law. They sinned. And when they did it, listen, Adam and Eve's nature changed. Everything changed that day. Adam and Eve began to die. There was no death. They were the only two people on the planet. They were perfect. They were created by a perfect God. They were perfect beings. They weren't going to die. But their nature changed when they broke God's law. And it says, just as through one man, sin entered the world. When Adam sinned, mankind was cursed. The human race was doomed. Adam and Eve were the whole human race. They were the only two people in existence. And Adam and Eve were corrupted all the way to the core. The entire human race was filled entirely with sin. We're not going to spend our time on this, but isn't it interesting that the text says, through one man, sin entered the world? If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you'll see that it was Eve that ate from the tree. And then Eve brings to her husband, and Adam listens to Eve and eats of the tree. And I don't want to make this a major point, because it's not the main point of the text, but it certainly is clearly showing us how seriously God takes male leadership. Adam, you're responsible. And let me just quickly say what I think the church needs to say so much clearer. Listen, men, you are responsible. You need to lead your families. And you need to lead your families well. Men should be leading churches. That's the setup of the Bible. And they need to lead those churches well. God takes very seriously male leadership. That's why the text says, through one man, sin entered the world. But the part that you really need to see here is, as this sin enters the world, it's the whole human race that is corrupted with sin and therefore begins to die. Both Adam and Eve are now dying. And the text doesn't say sins entered the world. Plural. It says sin, singular, by one man, sin. In other words, the nature of sin entered the world. As Adam and Eve were corrupted with a sin nature, that sin nature would corrupt every human being that continues to come from them. And that makes sense. You guys understand that, right? Every human being would end up coming through the sin-polluted loins of this man, Adam. He is sinful. And as him and Eve make children, the only thing that Adam can pass along is sin-filled seed. He's been corrupted. His nature changed. He's been filled with a sin nature. He's dying. Every part of him is now unlike God. And so as he passes on his seed, and more children are born, and more children are born, and more children are born, they are all corrupted with the same sin nature that Adam has. That's why the text says, sin entered the world through one man. And then verse 12, and death through sin. So this passage explains for us what death is. Sin entered through Adam, and death entered through sin. And we're seeing then that death is a consequence of sin. It's really simple. If Adam hadn't sinned, he wouldn't have died. But Adam did sin. And in Adam, all die. That's what this passage is explaining. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 with me very quickly. Paul says it there very clearly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die." Makes it clear. Everybody in Adam dies. The reason everybody dies is because everybody comes from Adam, and everybody's in Adam, and in Adam all die. But the passage doesn't end there, as he's continuing with this same comparison. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." All those in Christ live eternally, have an eternal life, a spiritual life. It's a beautiful thing. But what you got to see from this passage in verse 12, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, is that all people inherit sin from Adam. And sin always results in death. Therefore, all people die. Verse 12 then says, "Death spread to all men because all sinned." You see, Adam's sin affected all mankind and brought the death penalty to all people, and so death spread to all men. The first part of this ending of verse 12, it says, "Death spread to all men because all sinned." The first part's really easy. Death spread to all men. We understand that. That is easily proven by history. Everybody dies, right? In fact, as you go through your Bible, you'll see a reoccurring line when they start talking about people in genealogies. And he died. And he died. And he died. Because this is proven true. All people die because all people are affected by sin. So we get that one. That one's really easy to understand because you see it. Everybody's dying and everybody does end up dying. But the second half of that, it says, "Death spread to all men because all sinned." This is the line that people disagree on. This is the part of this passage that people have a hard time understanding. What does Paul, this is what we want to understand. What does Paul mean in the text when he says death spread to all men because all sinned? What does it mean that because all sinned? A very popular way that people try to interpret this line is like this. There is no connection between Adam's sin and every other human being on the planet. Adam was a model of a person who sinned. Adam sinned. And so Adam died because Adam sinned. But that's not in connection to any other person. That's just the model of a person sinning. And then every other human isn't guilty through Adam. They're guilty when they imitate Adam and follow the model of a man who sins. So they commit their own sin. And then therefore they're guilty before God, and that's the reason that they die, because they've imitated Adam in sinning themselves. That's probably one of the more popular models for determining what that says. You could sum that up like this: everyone commits individual sin, and therefore that's why they die. Now, that's called Pelagianism. If you go study that out, you'll find that that becomes popular through Pelagian and his model. And listen, it's wrong. But let me clarify what I'm saying there. I'm not saying that all people don't commit their own sin. I agree with that. When somebody comes to me and they say all people commit their own sin, I say, absolutely. We're sinners. We commit our own sin. And then you say, that's what they're dying for. Well, that's the part that we got to maybe talk about. Because are you saying that somebody can't die until they commit their own sin, now we have a problem, because that's not what this passage is explaining, and that's not what life would show us, and that's not the pattern that we see as we look at how things work out. Now, I will say, everybody is going to be responsible for paying for their own sin, right? When you go to Revelation chapter 20, and Christ, the ultimate judge, the perfect judge, opens up the books, and he's judging people based off of their actions. It's their actions, their sins, that they will be judged upon and according to. And so with that part of the Pelagian focus, I agree that all people are, yes, responsible for their own sin. But that's not what Paul means when in this text he says, death spread to all men because all men sinned. The correct interpretation of that and what Paul means here in verse 12 is this: Adam's sin is charged, is credited to every human being that would ever live. Adam is corrupted to the core. Adam passes corrupt seed to corrupt Eve, and sin-filled, corrupt-natured babies are born. They are guilty of the sin of Adam because they have a sin nature to the core. When the passage says death spread to all men because all sinned, it's saying death spread to all men because all men inherited the sin of Adam. And listen clearly. This is why babies die in the womb. When someone comes to me and says, no, that is not true. They're not guilty of inherited sin from Adam. They have to sin themselves. That's what then they're guilty of. That's when they have a problem. I always give the same answer. What about the multiple babies that I have in heaven? What did they do? How did they break God's law when they died in the womb? And the answer is simple. If you believe the Bible, you get the answers for this stuff. Adam passed the corruption on to them, and so death is a result of sin. You can't die if there's no sin, and so those babies that die in the womb have to be filled with the sin nature that they've inherited being passed on from Adam. That's why they can die before they're even born. There's one more reason I need to show you as to why this has to be saying that we inherit the sin from Adam. And this is the strongest argument. It's the argument of the text. What Paul has to mean from this is that we inherit sin from Adam, and we're all guilty of Adam's sin because he passes that corrupt nature on to all of us. And that's because, look at verse 12 with me again in your Bible. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, after verse 12, after the word sinned, most of your Bibles probably have a long dash right there after the word sinned. And then maybe even a parenthesis bracket starting in verse 13. That's good. This is helpful for us in understanding this confusing passage. In fact, if you read the passage and keep going down through it, you'll see that that parenthesis bracket doesn't end until after verse 17. That's because what Paul does in this text is he introduces his thought to you in verse 12. And he picks that thought back up in verse 18. Verses 13 through 17 are filler, where Paul is going to prove a point, but he's proving a point kind of with another focus. And then he's going to come back to this idea of death spreading to all men because one man sinned back in verse 18. So really, if you go to your text and you read verse 12, then verse 18, and skip the verses in between, you get the flow of mindset that Paul's actually having here. And let me do that for you. Verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Therefore, this is verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act and free gift to all men, resulting in justification and life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. You see, when you look at Paul's complete train of thought, he is very clearly comparing Adam to Christ. And so what we have to do is the proper interpretation of both. If you come to this text and you say, no, what Paul means when he says Adam's sin affected all people is this: Adam was the model of sin, and nobody's guilty of that. We don't inherit sin from Adam. They then have to follow that model, and once they follow the model and sin on their own, then they're guilty of sin. And if you're going to take that interpretation, you have to apply that interpretation to the entirety of Paul's thought here, which leads you to verses 18 and 19 and saying this: Christ, right? Let's read 19. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So if you're saying they didn't inherit it from Adam, they just follow the model of Adam and sin themselves, you have to apply that same thing to the next line. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. What you'd have to be saying there then is the death of Christ was the model for how one gets right with God. But see, Paul's clearly not saying that. He's giving the comparison in the same way that Adam affected many, that many inherited sin from Adam, the many inherit righteousness from the one act of Jesus Christ. That is huge. You got to understand that as you come through and you study this text. The even so becomes very, very important there. That's verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, that line requires you to interpret these the same way, consistently, which draws you to the conclusion. Let's make sure this is very, very clear, that when Adam sinned, the entire human race was immediately filled with sin. So every single person that would be conceived by a man and a woman being involved would be conceived in sin. They would have sin imputed upon them. They inherited Adam's sin. That is also why the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is vital to the gospel. When man passes seed on, it is corrupt. So no man can pass on a seed and create a sinless child except for God miraculously sends the Messiah through a virgin birth. No seed from a sinful man was passed on. That's vital to our theology. Let's keep going. Let's look at verse 13. That was a lot on one verse, but But hopefully you're tracking with me because this is really important stuff. And then verse 13, Paul's going to help us understand it even further. He says, "For until the law, sin was in the world." Of course it was. We just covered that. They've inherited it from Adam. Adam keeps passing it down, right? And so through Adam, all are guilty. And so in Genesis 3, Adam sins. And he's filled with sin to the core. And then in Genesis 4, Adam's son Cain kills his other son Abel. That quick. Because sin is passed down. And they're corrupt to the core. And then by the time you get to Genesis 5, you see the first of those genealogies where everybody dies, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. And why are they dying? Death is a result of what? Sin. So we see very clearly that until the law, sin was in the world. When did we get the law? Moses. He's going to clarify that as we keep reading. That's verse 14. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses," because that's when we get the law. So that's what he's saying here. Until the law, sin was still in the world. But then he says this, "But sin is not imputed where there is no law." That's a very specific time frame in your Bible. Where is there no law for mankind in your Bible? No written law, no visible law, no very clear instruction from God on what he expects of mankind. That's what verse 14 is telling us. From Adam to Moses. Let me see if I can help you understand this. See, Adam had direct law from God, did he not? "Do not eat from this one tree." It was God's direct instruction. And Adam broke that direct instruction. Moses delivers the Ten Commandments. God's direct, visible, written law to mankind. So Adam had direct law from God. Clear instruction. From Moses onward, that includes you and I, we have the direct, written, visible word of God, which is the law in the Ten Commandments that God delivered through there. So what about the time in between Adam and Moses when none of those people had that direct instruction, that direct law? There's sin. We know there's sin because they're all dying. They die, they die, they die, they die, they die. But they don't have this direct law. That's what he's addressing here. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law." So this is what that's saying. The people from Adam to Moses, in between Adam and Moses, they are not credited, they're not imputed upon them, is not the crediting of breaking the Mosaic law. That hasn't been given yet. But are all those people still sinners? Yes. How do we prove that? Because they're dead. They're not here anymore. That's the point. They're not being credited with the specific breaking of the law. They are being credited with a sin nature that was given to them by Adam, and they're dead. There's two reasons why this is very clear. And there's two reasons why they're very much dead. Number one, the lesson you're supposed to grasp from this, they inherited a sin nature. We're not talking about specific sins, plural. We're talking about the nature of sin. One being corrupted and other than God. So in their nature, they are sin. In their nature, they are ungodly, and so they're dying because they have an inherited nature of sin. Number two requires us to go backwards in our Bibles to the beginning of Romans, Romans chapter 1, which we spent so much time on, but we'll just say it like this. Number two, even though there's no written law for them to look at, the law of God was written on their hearts. When God makes human beings, written on their hearts is His law. They didn't have the Ten Commandments, but what they do reject is the reality of a God and His law that God has placed upon them at creation. And if you really want that in detail, go back and listen to Romans 1, 18 through 32. We spent quite a few weeks picking that apart and talking about people who have never actually had a Bible or been able to read the Bible. But what do they have? They have creation, which reveals that there's a God. They have the law inside of them that tells them certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And when they admit that certain things are wrong without ever reading the Bible, they're a law to themselves. That's what he's saying in the beginning of Romans. And so these people in that time frame are no different. They didn't have a written law, but what they did have is the law written upon their hearts. And as they reject that law, it's revealing their sin-filled nature, which they've inherited from Adam. That's why verse 14 says, nevertheless, right? They're not imputed with the breaking of the Mosaic law, which they've never seen, but nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even though they're not credited with that, death was still king. And I told you why. Because they have an inherited sin nature, and that inherited sin nature rejects the law of God that is written on their hearts. Look at verse 14. Even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. That's a clear line. Adam broke God's direct instruction. Don't eat from the tree. Adam ate from the tree. This would be the case for all people following Moses, because God gives the Ten Commandments, the very clear instruction, and we are breakers of that, right? If we walk through the Ten Commandments right now, we could show you how you've all broken all of them. And so therefore, we're guilty of breaking the direct instruction of God. But in between Adam and Moses, there's those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. In other words, they didn't break a direct commandment of God, because they didn't have a direct commandment of God, but they still broke God's law, the law of God that was written on their hearts, because they have inherited sin from Adam. That's why they all died. It says, even so, death reigned. Even on those who didn't sin in the likeness of Adam, even in those who didn't break a direct commandment from God, but were just inheritors of sin nature, and therefore broke God's law written on their hearts. Which leads us to the very important line. Even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was. Hang with me for a few more minutes, okay? Because you got to see this here at the end of this text. This is the crucial line in this text. Who was a type? What does that mean? A type is a pattern or a model of. So it's saying Adam was a model of him who was to come. Who's that, church? That's Jesus Christ. So in this passage, what we learn is Adam is a representative whose actions affected many. That's what he's going to go on in the next section to say over and over again. Adam affected many, Christ affects many. Adam affected many, Christ affects many. And so Adam, being the representative whose actions affect many, just as Christ and his actions affect many. That's the whole point of the text. What Christ did for those that are in him is so far greater than what Adam did for those that are in him. So Adam was a pattern or a foreshadowing of Christ in that both affect humanity. Adam imputes sin onto humanity. Christ has the sin of all of his people imputed onto himself so that his righteousness could be imputed onto all believers. See, both of them, Adam and Christ, affect the many. But what Christ did for all those in him is greater than what Adam did for all those in him. That is why Paul refers to Jesus Christ as the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, it gives you another comparison here of the two, written from the same author. And look what he says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam. See how Paul refers to Jesus Christ as the last Adam? That's here in Romans 5. It's giving you that comparison. Adam is a type of him who is to come, Christ. And so he says, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Go down to verse 47, 1 Corinthians 15, 47. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, that's the second Adam, is the Lord from heaven. He's using this idea of second Adam or the last Adam for Jesus Christ because that's exactly what he's talking about here in Romans chapter 5. With Adam, and let me just summarize this because I'm excited. But like I said, we need two more weeks to properly grasp all this. But Jesus provided a righteousness that is so much better than the thing that was lost in Adam. If you can grasp that point, it's life-changing. People say, well, what if Adam just had never sinned? Okay, right. With Adam, he was sinless up to the point until he sinned. So if Adam hadn't sinned, right, and we were still in that today, and we were living in Adam, but there was no sin, and it was like, do not eat of the fruit of the tree, right, and we're all going around, we're all sinless, up to the point where someone sins. So we're sinless now, and in the past, but that has nothing to do with the future. The future depends on not sinning, not eating from the tree. In Christ, we are given a completed righteousness. Not just a righteousness of, I haven't sinned up until this point. It's a completed life of righteousness. From birth until death, not one single sin. And that's why justification, that's what this is all talking about. Once again, back to the idea of the doctrine of justification, where God declares us right with him. Justification is bigger than just as if I never sinned. That doesn't fill in the second half of I can't ever sin in God's eyes as somebody who has been credited with the completed life of Jesus Christ. That's the eternal life that Christ makes possible. It's a completed life with no sin. So therefore, when one is justified and God looks at them and sees the completed life of Christ, it's not just there's no sin up to this point. It's there is no sin. Period. Because God sees the completed life of perfection that Jesus Christ completed and then credited to all of his people because what Christ provided for all those in him is so far greater than what Adam did for all those in him. So what Paul's doing in this text is he's comparing inheriting sin from Adam and he's comparing inheriting righteousness from Christ, and he wants you to compare the two and be amazed at how much better it is to have the righteousness of Christ compared to the righteousness that Adam lost. Christ is better. And we're going to look at that again next week. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the glorious reality of your gospel. And God, while we come to these passages that can sometimes be a little bit difficult to understand, I pray that you would just give us clarity as we walk through them. Thank you for the way we can look at Paul's words and come to the proper conclusion of what he's looking at through diligent study. And I just pray that you would help me to present it clearly, that you'd help it to fall on people's ears in such a way that they can grasp it and they can understand it. And ultimately, I pray that you would be glorified in and through it. Thank you so much for your love and the way that, God, you take us who are sinners, who are enemies of you, and you credit us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ by allowing him to be the sacrifice for us. As we marvel at that over the next 2 weeks as we continue to look at this comparison, I pray that you would be glorified and that hearts would be changed. Thank you for your love in this day. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here. I hope you have a blessed week.